The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We have our special guest for this week. Let me tell you something, okay? We have been talking about women who have been killing it and just doing some amazing things in their respective spaces in Trinidad and Tobago. And last week we spoke with Miss Esther Callender, or Miss Esther George Callender, and Miss Nikita Legal. And today that momentum is going to continue because we got another powerhouse in the creative space. So my guest today is someone who has been shaping the soca and film production landscape in TNT, who is none other than Cameron Waite. And Cameron is a multidisciplinary creative who has an impressive track record in film, TV, and content production. As a producer and a first assistant director, she's built a reputation for keeping productions on schedule while creating a space where creatives can thrive. She's the co-host and producer of Recess with DeAndre and Cameron, a podcast dedicated to the open cultural conversations. And she also runs Parlor Productions, a company focused on amplifying Caribbean voices through stunning visuals. Her recent success in the soca industry, working with major artists and producing high-impact visuals, is a testament to her skills and her passions. Today, we're going to be taking a deep dive into her journey, the creative process behind her work, and what it takes to build a career in media and production in the Caribbean. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Ms. Cameron.
What an intro,
Cameron.
That's crazy.
When you come on the digital world, you don't know we got to hook it up. It's the big dog in the building, you know. How you been?
It's a pleasure to be here. I am good. I am tired. I've been telling everybody I'm exhausted, but I'm really, really grateful. It's a season of busyness on my end, but you know, this is what we prayed for. This is what I prayed for. So I'm grateful to be busy. I'm grateful to be tired. I'm grateful to be doing what I love. So we're good on the side.
Living in answered prayers. I absolutely love it. You know, I was just about to ask you, you know, did you get a chance to recover?
No. Absolutely not. No recovery here. I'm in Tobago right now. And I'm supposed to be having a nice little relaxing 3 days, but alas, no rest for the wicked, or so they say. So I will be working through this vacation, but I get to work in Tobago. So, you know, like, it is what it is.
Listen, right now we have a lot of people working in New York wishing they could be working in Tobago right about now, you know?
Exactly.
So you're definitely living a life that a lot of people are like, man, I wish I could be doing that. So let's start things off. Like, I really, you know, again, we've connected a while ago. I think the first time I met in person was when Tanisha Garcia was on Digital World. That was like 2 years ago now. My goodness.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tanisha. So let's start from the beginning. Let's let the world, let's let TNT and the wider Caribbean get to know who Cameron is. So, you know, talk to us about, you know, where did you grow up? How did you get started in the space? We're taking it back to the beginning.
I'm going to try to keep this as short as humanly possible. So let's go. I was born in Belize. Both of my parents are Trini. So I moved to Trinidad when I was about 7, and my mom is a seamstress and a hairdresser and an all-around just creative, really. So I think that's kind of where I get my creativity from. My dad is a lawyer, so he's like the logistic guy in the family. And I always grew up really liking music, funnily enough. So my start in creativity was actually being on stage, because in my primary school, I went to a private primary school and we used to do pantomimes every year. And I used to always want to get the lead. I never got the lead, but it was just something that I always really liked doing, singing music and being on stage. And my friends tell me not to say it all the time, but I was really good at the recorder and I just really liked music. So
I'm not kind of music.
Yeah, I was actually really good. Like, I played a CXC piece for a girl who did music in CXC. I was really good. Like, I was actually really good at the reporter. But
Wow. Wow.
anyways,
Yeah.
so I went into St. Joseph's Convent San Fernando for secondary school, and in between primary school and secondary school, I joined Pleasanton College Mixed Choir, and we used to do musicals every year. So I got into stage, and then fast forward, I started going to church, and I started worship leading in my church. And in my church is where one of my best friends, he got into the media team for our youth ministry. And that was when social media was like kind of now becoming a thing. So it was this exciting thing that we got to do and be a part of, figure out how to market our youth conferences and our youth ministry online. And that just kind of like that became a thing for us that we were involved in productions. And I didn't even realize that that's what that was at the time. So of course we're just kind of living life and doing cool things and meeting really cool people who are creatives for a living. And that was kind of where we realized that, oh, okay, I don't have to like go in a bank or become a lawyer or have a 9-to-5. There are people doing these creative things and making money. So that was like the introduction to that life for us. And when I finished secondary school, I went straight up to Form 6 and I did performing arts and everything. But I was a confused child. I didn't know what I wanted to do in my life when I had to choose subjects. So I did, we had six compulsory subjects and then I did physics, ad math, and performing arts. It was an I wanted to be an astronomer at one point in time, so I thought it was a good idea to do physics. I don't know what I was, I did not know what I was doing. But that happened, and then I did Form 6 where I did communications. I did literature and Spanish and performing arts. I mean, we're the first year in performing arts. Highly 10 out of 10 do not recommend being the guinea pig year in TXE. Don't do it. Just don't do it. So that happened, and then but it was actually really good because the first unit that we did in performing arts was a business unit. So that's actually where I learned most of my business foundations, which I because I didn't do POV or I didn't know I was going into business, but that actually helped me a lot. Like looking back, I'm like, oh, that's where I know that from, and that's where I'm able to kind of like have the foundation set. So everything happens for a reason. So after Form 6, my plan was to take a gap year and write my SATs and go to school in the States. I wanted to do communication studies because at that point in time I was, getting into marketing and that kind of stuff. And then I had a mentor at the time, Luke Womenaugh. Big up you, Luke.
Big up Luke.
He was like, Cams, why don't you just do a course in social media marketing and like go into that? And I was like, I never really liked school. So I was like, I thought of that actually really appeals to me. So I decided to do a course in social media marketing. I never finished it. But that's I kind it kind of one thing led to this iPad. One thing led to another. And I spent literally like the next 4 years of my life just figuring it out. Thank God. I always tell people I'm very blessed and privileged to have had a financial safety blanket in my parents, because I was able to take that time to just live my
Figure it out.
figuring out stages without having to be on the streets. So I spent the next 4 years doing that. Chadelle and I met my now mentor. His name is Dexter Musgrave at a conference that Faith Assembly International had put on. And she walked up to him with me and she was like, you're going to be our mentor. And he was like, wait, hold on. I don't know you guys from a place. But he somehow agreed and took us underneath his wing. And under Dexter's, where I got a lot of my experience in advertising. So I'm really grateful that I was able to get that without actually having to join an agency, because I heard agencies, there are a lot of stories about agency work. So we'll just leave that on the side there. So through Dexter, I got a lot of experience like writing radio scripts, writing TV scripts, and just like being in that creative space and challenging my brain in that way. And a big thing for me during that time also was I had a lot of creative friends who were very good at what they did. And we always just used to do things. We used to, anything we did, we would do it creatively. So I used to do a pop-up thrift shop where I would sell some of my old clothes. And Chadelle is like a master photographer, master branding, really. So she would take pictures of me and we'd send it to a friend who we have living in the States, and she would doodle on the images and we would launch it with like a video. And like it would just be a thing. And everything we did was like that. There was a time when my brother and I wanted to launch a fashion brand. We did a whole series of videos where we sat down and we did interviews. Why you got into fashion? Why we like fashion? It was a whole thing that never came up, by the way. Don't look for that. That never happened. but that's kind of, I always was in the habit of taking my idea from concept to execution, not realizing that that was a thing or that that was a skill or that that was something that I could do for other people. It was just always something that I did because I wanted to express myself creatively. And network of friends who also had a wide pool of talents. So fast forward now, okay, I know I was trying to make this short. I'm going to wrap it up here. So fast forward
keep going, yeah.
In 2021, I think, or two, somewhere around there, my friend Joshua Regalo called me, and Joshua and I went to school around the same time, so we were good friends. And Joshua's always been Joshua, right? So Joshua calls me and he's like, Cam, I'm producing a video for my song, Play Pa Man Play, and I need you to help me get it done.
Yeah.
And I was like, what makes you think that I can do that? I'm like, I don't do that. And then he's like, I don't know, I just know you could do it. And I was like, okay. And that was 3 days before he wanted to shoot, right? So I was like, Joshua... And somehow, magically, we got it done. And I was like, okay, this is now something that I realize I can do for other people. And that was my first job as a producer. I had my first producer credit. So big up you, Joshua. I always tell him.
I'm big up Joshua. Big up Joshua. Yeah.
So that was my first producer job. And then I also signed the guys I founded Recess with DNA in 2019. That was when we started our podcast because I wanted to create a space for young creatives to come and hear from people who are already established in the industry. Know that, okay, possible. You can do this. You don't have to put your creative desires and experience away on the side as a hobby. You can actually do this for a living and be comfortable. And so we started the podcast with that premise, and then we did 2 seasons, and then took a little hiatus, because started growing up.
Life be lifing. Life be lifing.
We live in a nice little capitalist society, so we had to start making some money. So after that call from Joshua, there was the 2023 launch of Lost Tribe, their like campaign for their launch was happening, and Shari Petty, who was the director on that project, directing remotely, she was looking for a producer around to get the project done. And she and DeAndre went to school together, so I think she had asked DeAndre, but DeAndre was a country at the time, so she referred me, and that was where I'm Josiah Prasad of Twin Island Company, who is one of the most, I think, well-known video directors in the country. And he and I met on that project because he was the DP for that for that launch.
Yeah.
And we kind of clicked. We worked really well together. He's kind of quiet and I'm a theater kid, so I'm
We're back. I see you now. Okay, yeah, we're back. Yeah, go ahead.
I love Rick Folio. Okay, great. So.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, hold on. Before you, Ricolia scene. Just to bring in Ricolia, right? So Ricolia was the co-host for the last year and change, and Ricolia is doing her thing now. But she's seen you were on the show today, and she's like, "Yo, I need to be back on." I'm like, "What do you mean need to be back?" I'm like, "You already have the link. Jump in."
Hello,
ladies and gentlemen. Rocolia is here.
Happy New Year. Happy Carnival. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy everything.
Happy everything.
So, Rocolia, just to quickly catch you up, Tamlin is giving us the breakdown as to how she went from the child to being this diva in the space and just absolutely killing it right now. Everything. We're getting the background, right? So we're in the middle of that. Cameron, and you and Nicole, you just come in, all right? So Cameron, let's keep it going. Keep it going, Cam.
I'm so weak. Okay. Firstly, happy to have you here, Nicole. I'm very excited. Okay. Josiah and I met and we really hit it off. Because he's a little quiet, I'm a little loud. And it just worked. It was the first time we worked together, but it really flowed really smoothly. And after project, he kind of took me under his wing and started pulling me in on his projects. So after that, we had done a couple of music videos. So we did Fuego for Destra. We had done some stuff for Lyrical, for Ding Dong. He just kind of started pulling me in on everything. And then we did Shake the Place, which was the... Destra and Marshall Yeo for Carnival I think that was last year Carnival, year before something. And that kind of was like, oh, okay, so this is a thing now. And I was able to, during the 4 years of figuring out, I also do photography. So I had done ETS photography for a friend of mine, Melvin Isaac, on a he was doing for UTC at the time. And the producer on that shoot was a woman, Kaya Jacob, who is another amazing producer locally. So she was the producer on set, and I met her, and I was like, Kylie would actually like to do this more often. Are you, like, taking interns or anything? That didn't particularly pan out, but a little while later, after the Shake the Place video, Kylie's on a project. And she asked me if I wanted to come on board. And that project was for a movie that I also didn't pan out in that way. But then she brought me onto another project, which ended up being Carnival Catwalk. So I was a producer on Carnival Catwalk. I did challenge production. So everything that happened off-site of where we were, which was off-site of Napa, I had purview over. The logistics off-site, make sure that we have the cast, facility, etc. And on that project, I learned a lot. It was insane. Crazy, crazy times. To be chaos and really bring something that I think we're all proud of. So that was that. And then there was like a long period of nothing. I think that's one of the things that I like to point out, because I think it's good for people to understand the nature of lancing, especially locally. Our film industry is developing. It's not, we're not making like huge big blockbuster movies just yet. It's an industry, and it's still growing. It's still I had a really having a lot of work. My parents were fully taking care of me. I felt really dependent. And
try it now. I know you're freezing a little bit. We're hearing you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay, perfect. So I spent a little downtime. And then things kind of, and what I realized is actually like there's a little time in the industry. It's not just a me thing. So that also felt comforting. But things picked back up surely in last year, September, was when I joined Kooten's team. And I joined as a video producer, and it kind of aligned to when he just had a big up, like after we released that art form video. That was, he had already had a really good following, so that just kind of things went up really, really quickly for us. So I was able to join that team, and that has been an absolute blessing with those guys. They're young, but extremely dedicated, extremely disciplined. And it is a real pleasure working with them. So I get to do that. And then, things lead to other things. And here I am.
I absolutely love that. You actually filled in a few gaps that I wasn't aware of because, you know, I follow you a lot on social media, you know, all the updates and this and the other. Now, I don't say discovered you, that sounds so pretentious, but I first came across who you were and your profile through your Recess podcast. And one of the first things that struck me was, you know, you were one of the first few locally to get into the podcast space. And for those who don't know, she wasn't doing it by herself, you know, she had a co-host and all of that. And what I've always admired about you is that you have been able, and in the same way that you just highlighted there, you've been able to jump from strength to strength, and you've had the ability to find yourself in all of these different spaces, whether it's production, hosting, and producing a podcast, you know, working on music videos, being creative director, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In a time when we are always being told, especially when it comes to personal branding, you need to niche down, you need to be known for this, you need to be known for that. What has that journey and that experience been like for you? Like, did you feel pressured to be like, okay, well, I really need to market myself as a creative director, I need to market myself as a producer, go down the line? Did you feel any of that pressure? And my follow-up question is, did you feel like you were in a space to essentially not just pick and choose, but essentially get to play in all these different spaces to really strengthen all of your skills as a multidisciplinary creator?
Ricolia, this is why you do this. That's such a good question. And I think it's so imperative too, because I think that's the plight of a lot of us creative people. We are naturally multidisciplinary, especially because of the world that we live in. It kind of pulls for to do and to be so, whether it be creatively, financially, like we can't even afford the necessary one thing so many times. So to answer your first question, that was absolutely something that I struggled with a large part of my journey, because when I was now, I guess, trying to establish, I wasn't even honestly at that point in my life trying to establish myself. I was just trying to figure things out and figure out how to sustainably make an income for myself while also doing something that I like, because I refused to do something that I don't like to make money. So it was difficult, because it's in that world at the time, it was difficult to hire someone when you don't necessarily know what you hire them for. So the challenge for me was at that point trying to figure out how to communicate. It's one dimensional. I crunch numbers for this and that.
I think we lost her for a second. See if we get her back.
Yes.
Bear with us, folks. Right now, Cameron's in a nice remote area in Tobago. So our internet's a little spotty.
There we go.
Cam?
Are you guys hearing me?
Yes, we're hearing you now.
That's crazy. I was thinking to myself for a hot 2 minutes there. That's all right. This Tobago Wi-Fi. I always tell my friends in Tobago, your stuff, man. That's crazy. Okay, so we're
going to kind of walk us back a bit. You can just walk us back a little bit essentially having to pay, like, you know, sometimes people, like, don't know what they're paying for.
Yeah, having to figure out how to communicate what I did was the bane of my existence for most of my creative journey. And there was a time when my mentor and I were talking, and we were talking about it, and I was like, I don't know what I want to niche into. Like, I don't know what it is I only want to do, because I like fashion, I like music, like all of these things. And then he told me a piece of advice that may sound very contradictory, but I tell people all the time, do more of everything. And I was like, that sounds nonsensical. At the time, of course, but I took his advice and I saw it play out in my life where it kind of naturally starts to develop into, you realize me at this then I am at this other thing, or maybe I actually like doing this thing for a living instead of that other thing. I could probably do that one as a hobby or do that something.
Tobago Wi-Fi won't let us be great.
It's Friday, it's ready for the weekend.
All right, guys, so let me just take a break and we'll come back with your guest, okay? Tam, let's return back to Digital World.
Yes, we are back. Cameron, are you here with us?
Cameron? I hope so.
Oh, you guys loud hear me? And clear. Yes. All right, you can continue.
Okay, so I was saying that being multidisciplinary was difficult because you have to tell people what you do in order to get paid to do it. And my mentor had told me, he'd given me a piece of advice that I found to be so ridiculous at the time, because he told me, in order for me to figure out what I should be doing or what I can be doing, I need to do more of what I'm already doing. And I was like, isn't that counterproductive? But I realized it played out in real time where I did more of everything and it allowed me to kind of realize, okay, well, I'm more naturally good at this. And I kind of like this one more than I like this one. And I'm okay with this one being a hobby rather than it being like my source of income. I actually want this one to be like my main thing. So I found that piece of advice to be really productive. And in that, I think I was able to, and it's so funny, I was able to niche, but it was still a very broad space in the niche. So with creativity, I think it's almost natural for us to do a bunch of different things or be able to do a bunch of different things, because creativity is really in and of itself problem solving and critical thinking and innovating, etc. So it in the field, I was able to also do a bunch of different things just because I am a creative person and my brain works in a creative way. And that allows me the skills needed to fulfill several roles on a creative project or a film set or a photo shoot, etc. And honestly, there's no, I wish I had like this super cookie cutter logical 2 + 2 = 4 answer, Ricolia. But I don't know, in my little chaotic brain, I don't think there is one. Like, I'm not sure how to tell you, okay, do this and this and this, and you'll get this result. But rather, I just tried my best to honor myself with the skills that I felt like I had. I did my best in the spaces that I was blessed to get opportunities in. And I just, as every project came, I think I just did the best I could. And then people started realizing, oh, okay, Cameron can do this and she can do this. She could also do this. And as that progresses, naturally, I got into one space more than the others. And now I've reached a point in my career where I can say, I am a film, TV, and content producer, a first AD, and I also do creative and art direction sometimes. My title is still pretty long, but I've been able to narrow it down in a way where I exist in this space, but I've gotten the privilege of not having to box myself into one thing. And I'm at, let me know if I'm answering the question, Ricolia, but I'm, like I said, I'm at a place now where I do get to, at a certain level or to a certain extent, kind of pick and choose what I give myself to and how much I give myself to it. So if anyone ever asks me now, I don't do social media management. I stick to production, first AD work, and then when it comes to fashion and content creation, that's something I do as Cameron, the person, not necessarily the professional, but yeah, I rambled a lot there. Please tell me if I made any sense.
No, I need
to clarify anything.
No, that was well said, and I'm actually glad that you highlighted that it wasn't cookie cutter response. I think, especially as creatives, we kind of feel a bit pressured to follow a very particular line or a very particular route, especially in the space of, you know, social media and all of that. It kind of paints a bit of a narrative that, okay, I need to do 1, 2, 3 and I will get to 4. But I love that you said that you were, you know, privileged enough, you know, to do a bit of everything and find your strength, find your, you know, where you really thrive and all of that. And now you're in a position to, you know, pick and choose and say, well, I don't do this, but this is what I do. And you can essentially zero in on that and, you know, get excel in those spaces. And I'm glad that you said everything you said, because I think you are essentially making it okay for other people who are in your space, whether it's, you know, production work or, you know, as a creative on a whole, whether you do graphic design and you also happen to do, I don't know, makeup, if you know what I'm saying. I'm glad you said what you said, because you're making it okay for others who are like you to know that they can revel in the various things that they are passionate about and skilled in. So, yeah. Karen, you have any questions?
You know, the funny thing to that is, one, if any of you have read the book Mastery by Robert Greene, one of the forms of mastery is, you know, that he outlines in the book is the person that, you know, just goes out and does all of these various things. And a lot of times these things are not linked to any one thing, but then at some point in your life, everything that you would have learned and picked up in those various skill sets or those various ventures you would have done, they all come together to make this beautiful package. And I think that's where I kind of see Cameron right now. You've just done so much that all of these skills, you've taken something from everything that you've done, and it's now, you know, put you in this space to allow you to excel the way that you have been excelling. But because you've done so much, my next question is, with you wearing so many hats, from producer to first assistant director, creative director, you know, what is your favorite role? And, you know, kind of talk to us about, you know, why it's become your favorite role.
Oh, I love that question. So funnily enough, I actually thought it was so ironic that I got into the production space, because I'm not very organized in my own personal life. Like, I'm not a very organized person. I was never somebody who was known to be super meticulous, but somehow I ended up in this space and I was able to excel in doing it for other people. But even like in the space, there are so many different types of producers. And honestly, there's a satisfaction for like one part of my brain, and there's another satisfaction for another part of my brain. So generally, I actually really like being a first AD, and a first AD is responsible for scheduling and keeping the shoot on schedule, on time. They work between the director and DP to kind of manage their timing, and as well as like, so they have, a first AD is known to be like the tyrant on set, because they're the person going, we only have 2 more minutes. You need to hurry up and get this shot. And they also are responsible for making final decisions on whether or not we can accomplish this thing. So they have the control to an extent on a set to say, okay, director, I understand this is your vision, but this is the reality. We only have 5 minutes to get this shot. Where can we compromise? Or if we have to compromise, like they are the ones that are making those statements and conclusions, etc. And they're also helping manage the set. And that's actually what I really love doing, because I like interacting with people. I like meeting new people, and I like ensuring that people feel good about themselves, and I feel like I get to do that. As a first AD, I really like being on set. Like, I have some producer friends who prefer to just do paperwork. I hate paperwork. I don't like it. I have to do it a lot of the time, obviously, because of my job, but I really don't prefer to do it. So being on set is one of my favorite things to do. So I really enjoy being a first assistant director for that reason. Oh, and that's so that's the like logical part of my brain. I really like directing and creative. Like, there's like a little sub category that I have not gotten to exist a lot in, because on a lot of the projects I'm brought in to kind of handle the logistics after the creative has been decided. But there is like a little gap in the where you can exist, where you get to do like creative production. So that's making some more creative decisions, like co-direction. I've gotten to do some creative direction and art direction on a couple of my projects as well. And anytime that I get to exercise my creative brain, I appreciate that. I get excited about that as well. So that is also something that I enjoy doing.
That sounds like a lot of moving parts, but at the same time, you sound like you are seamlessly able to go back and forth between, you know, having to be a bit of a bulldog to ensure that everything remains on time and according to schedule, while at the same time, you know, being interactive, you know, with people on set and all of that. But at the same time, collectively, it really sounds like a lot. It sounds like there are so many moving parts, and you have to essentially be a bit of a chameleon where that is concerned. So how exactly do you personally manage all of those moving parts? Let's say you're on a shoot right now, you know, what is there a particular mindset that you have to go in, any particular mantras? How does it work for you?
So I always tell people, I am not diagnosed, but I think a lot of us have a little ADHD in us. And like, my brain is constantly, generally, the way that I think, my brain is always going. It's always considering pretty much everything, every outcome, every scenario. My brain is always in like 10,000 different places at once. And I think that as a producer, that actually helps me, because I'm able to kind of consider things more than I guess somebody else would. Or my brain is able to kind of multitask in that way, thinking about this thing, but also thinking about this thing and anticipating this thing before it happens and kind of problem solving to find solutions for those things. So I don't have like a 1 + 1 = 2, but I go in generally trying to, yes, be on like top of my game as it pertains to the logistics and like the management side of things, but there are also a lot of soft skills necessary to deal with people, because when people are involved, it's not 1 + 1 = 2. There's nuance, there's context, there is figuring out how to get what you need out of people in the best way possible. Sounds a little manipulative, but for me, it's more that I want people to feel safe, to feel protected, and to feel the best version of themselves when they're on a set with me. So I feel like I'm able to strike a really good balance between, like, some of my friends on set, they call me the principal. Like I was telling Karen, they call me the 5-foot giant. I get called Miss. It's like a fun little banter we have, because I'm always shouting at people on set, but everyone knows that I'm also like shouting from a place of love and care. Because at the end of the day, I don't want people to be scared of me. Like, that, I don't feel like that yields the best result for anybody. So my focus is getting the job done while also ensuring that my cast and crew feel cared for. And I think that has been able to inform what I do in a very productive and progressive way. And yeah, so that's kind of where my brain lands in the whole thing.
I would actually say that's less manipulative and more, if you think that you're on the spectrum for ADHD, I think it also means that you probably have a really good hold or handle on psychology, even if you probably haven't studied it at all, because you're able to read people and adapt to the situation and communicate with them in the way that you think they would best respond to. So I think that's a very unique skill to have in a very high pressure space like that.
Yeah, it's so funny that you say that, because I also, as I'm getting older, I am also kind of recognizing and realizing the importance of all, like, we in the entertainment space, it's easy for everything to feel very urgent and very critical. And I feel like which I respect, because I'm the reason why I shout, or the reason why I'm like, let's get this thing done now, is because it is people's money at the end of the day. And you want to steward and be responsible with people's money, of course, because if we prolong a scene, or if we lag somewhere, it's more rental time for equipment, more rental time for space, it's more rental time for people's time. So it's always is that it costly. So I'm trying my best, of course, to keep time. However, I said, as I'm getting older, I'm also trying to strike the balance between that and never making people feel as if we're having brain surgery. Like, nobody's dying. Like, once you're not like bungee jumping off of like a 10-story building for a scene, like, generally most of the time, this is for entertainment, which of course I value and like I see as important, obviously, or else I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. But I also want people to strike the balance between like, it's okay, guys, if we don't get this video out this right second, it's not the end of the world. Like, I think there's a balance to be had also when it comes to maintaining our humanity with one another in this space. So I just wanted to quickly point that out.
No, that brings a level of calm to everybody, because it's so, in the world that we live in, where everything is just so fast-paced, everything is mission critical, but everything can't be mission critical. So that level of calm that you are bringing, I'm sure the other people are going to, you know, be happy that you do it as well. Now, we have about 10 minutes left. I know time flies when we're having fun. But we want to get into, you know, a lot of the things that you've been doing for this past carnival season, because again, you've been behind the camera. I'm sure, you know, if you know it, the work that you've been a part of, we want to kind of get into that. But from everything that you have done so far, what would you say has been like your proudest moment in your career so far?
Wow, that is an intense question. Okay, so I actually forgot to mention this very big chunk of my life where my friends and I started a production company called Paula Productions. So we are actually currently in the post-production phase of a project that I can't really talk about, but I would say that one of my proudest moments, there's a project that we initially started out of pocket as a production house, because it was like a passion project of one of the directors on the board. And we wanted to get it done as a friend group. And we were like, well, if we need to get funding, we have to have a company. And that's kind of how the company formed. And the way that the company has progressed has been intense, because we got a client shortly after that. And then we got a really, really, really big contract, which is one I can't particularly talk about right now. But so I would say that one of my proudest moments was when we were recording the pilot episode of that passion project, because we had done it strictly out of pocket. It was a very elaborate set. We had like we had a very elaborate set, and it was our first project as a production house, and it was ours. And I don't think there is much, there are many feelings that compare to having something in, whether it's your brain or your, a friend's brain or a client's brain, and literally see it come to life and like come to fruition. And we were literally painting the walls of the set ourselves and sanding. Like, it was crazy, but we did it all ourselves, and it was, I can't, there's nothing that really compares to that. So I would say that for sure is one of the proudest. It's funny because it's not a very, it's not a public moment because we haven't released the series. Not a lot of people will know that we even did that pilot, but it was in the like quiet and in the privacy of getting that project done with the people that we got it done with. That is definitely one of my proudest career moments.
Brilliant, brilliant. I have a couple of questions as we're looking to wrap. I'm going to try to keep it light because I know we have a few, we only have a few minutes left. What is something, if you were in any creative industry, what do you think you'd be doing instead?
My group.
Or I'm guessing that you would not. You
that is
not.
A great question because, yeah, I don't think I would. I think it has to be so, like, I can tell you if I wasn't in film, I'd want to be an actress, or I'd want to be, I'd want to be making music, either of those two. I can't tell you outside of the creative industry because I really don't think I would be, I'd be doing it. Because the other thing would might be like, I like to cook, but I don't like cooking for sale. Like, that's too much work.
So is it good to eat?
So yeah, kind of, pretty much. So right, yeah, well, I don't think there is, I can't see myself doing anything outside of the creative space.
yeah. All right. So like outside of, you are of course through and through a creative, and I think something that a creative, most creative tends to struggle with is the business side of things. How do you personally handle both sides of the coin? Or are you still learning how to handle both sides of the coin?
I was just about to say, you need to ask me if I'm handling it in the first place. I am definitely still learning a lot in that space. And it's tough because, of course, you're getting older. So there are more responsibilities being presented, having to think about, okay, I'm, of course, like, not to put my business out there, but it's honestly a financial consideration in these times. I'm single, so I'm also thinking about how, you know, like that affects things. So it's a lot to think about. And especially as a business owner or as a freelancer who doesn't necessarily have, again, like a fixed salary, all of those things are things that I have to consider. And the business of it all, it's in and of itself its own world. And we have, like, there is a responsibility and an onus on the freelancer or business person to educate themselves. And I am currently in the process of doing so. I do not have any of the answers. I'm figuring it out by myself with my friends, with my dad, who happens to be a lawyer, thank God. So he helps a lot with like my company type things, so having to register my business, having to do my financial projections, my taxes, etc. I again super super blessed on this end to have somebody in my life who has experience in that space and that can guide me. But it's not something that I think that I am currently where I would like to be knowledge and practice wise, but they're also cracking down on businesses locally. So it's something that we kind of are being forced to get on top of. So yes, literally in the process of handling those things.
Fellas, I don't know how you are allowing Cam. I don't know how you're allowing Cam to be single on the market. Please, eligible bachelors. I'm sounding the clarion call for Cameron, okay? Cam, you have been able to work with guys like Master. You've been able to work with guys like Marshall. You worked with Destra, you have worked with Kute, who you still have to convince me you guys are not twins, by the way. You guys are twins in my book. What is it like? What is it like working with some of these artists, especially artists like, you know, the Mashals and the Destras, where, let's be real, we have grown up. Like, I don't remember a time not knowing a Destra or not knowing a Mashal. And now you're there behind the scenes working with them. You know, what is it like to work with some of these icons?
Honestly, I'm grateful. Like, it's really a privilege. And they're like really great. Like, I love working with Mashal and I love working with Destra. And they're like super chill. Of course, they take their craft very seriously. So of course, naturally, as people who have established themselves in a certain space at such a high level, there is a certain standard that you have to like meet them at, which I think is very natural. So I don't see it as something that's like over the top. Like if they are particular about a certain thing or that kind of thing, I kind of expect that. So, and I met with that, but then I'm also met with people who are also like people trying to, you know, like live their life in the best way that they can. And I have had no bad experiences working with any like artists. Like they meet us as humans and we interact on that level. And like, I love working with those guys. They're amazing. And they make you almost feel as if they're not like these big superstars. It feels very like their family, kind of working with them. So it's a pleasure, really. It's and I'm extremely, extremely grateful to be able to interact and like create, which I think is in and of itself a very vulnerable and precious thing to be able to create with these amazing people who I've looked up to for a long time. So yeah, it's great. It really is such an amazing experience.
Stars, they're just like us. It's really nice to hear that some of our fave icons are, you know, not just professional, but, you know, down to earth and approachable and all of that, because I think it's also easy to see the flip side where there's the assumption that, you know, that they're up on a particular level and pedestal and all of that. So it's really refreshing to hear that. As we're wrapping up, one last question for you. What is one dream project or collaboration you haven't done yet, but you would love to do in the future? If there's more than one, you can let us know.
Wow. I have a lot.
Maybe top two?
Okay. I will say internationally, I would love... There are a couple people I want to work with internationally, but I would love to work at some point with Ava DuVernay. She's one of my favorite directors internationally.
Major. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the dreams for sure. And then, I like really love the Caribbean. I think we're amazing. I call myself a Caribbean ambassador because everybody always accuses us of having a superiority complex, and I will never deny that. I think we are amazing in the Caribbean, and I feel bad for people who are not from here. And one of my dream projects is it's actually not in film, funnily enough, it's to host like a Caribbean culture conference where we have like a Caribbean-wide based conference, and it's very big. It's a very big vision of mine because I want us to be able to partner with airlines in the region to have extremely reduced rates up the islands, and like the conference actually happens in different islands. So that's like something that I dream about working on. Film-wise, I'd love to do something with Fiona Compton. She runs Know Your Caribbean, and she's amazing. So... yeah, and just more stuff with my friends, really. Being able to create something that's ours, that's funded well, that's really the dream.
Pam, my last question for you as we begin to wrap. What's the legacy that you want to leave behind in the Caribbean creative space? What do you want people to think of when they hear the name Cameron?
Jesus Christ, Karen. Great. Nice. wow. Some serious introspection there. Thank God I've been doing a little bit of that here and there these days. I really want to be known as someone who honored herself in everything that she did, honored the people around her, and honored her heritage. I really just want people to hear my name or see my name associated with something and be like, yeah, that makes sense, because it is Caribbean people for us, for Caribbean people, with Caribbean people. And I also want to be known as somebody who led with love and care, and who was just a very genuine and authentic person to herself and to her culture.
I think that is something that we would definitely all agree with, that you embody. And I'm sneaking this one in. Cameron, I want you to describe yourself in 3 words.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Okay. So I have to put creative in there. I have to put authentic in there. And what else? What would be the 3rd one? Creative, authentic, and I put loving. I think I'm a loving person. So I'm going to put that in there.
I give that a slow clap.
Yeah.
I give it a clap.
And a little stand-up as well.
And a little stand-up. Cam, where can everybody find you online to continue following you and your journey?
I am on Instagram at cameron.etc, cameron.etc. That's my primary piece of the internet. And if you guys follow me there, you'll get my website at some point in time. We'll see how that goes.
Cam, we thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. We know you're doing a workation. Ricolia is very used to that. So we know you're doing a workation in Tobago. So thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to come in and talk to us on the digital world right here on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It was such an honor, privilege, and such a pleasure. Thank you guys so much for even creating this platform and having these conversations. Really, really big kudos to you guys for that.
Thank you, Gab.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability, the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.